who's going to speak on them. And they're similar, but they will be different. But so our minds are directed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn to Matthew 28, Matthew 28. Begin reading with verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. May we pray. Our gracious and loving Father, we know that we're not sufficient to think anything of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. We pray that you will lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, lift up the glory of God, and we just praise your name for this opportunity to minister to the saints of God by the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. Be with us now as we open up the Scriptures, and we know unless you open up our hearts and minds, all will be dull and all will be cold. But pray that you'll warm our hearts as we look to Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Years ago, when I was around 20 years old, I read a story of a young Chinese Christian. And he was always finding something and coming to the church all excited in the Old Testament. So one of the elders told him, well, you should read the New Testament. You're getting too excited in the Old Testament. So he started reading the New Testament. So he came the next Sunday, he was just bubbling over. He said, now what's so exciting? Now you've got to remember, his name was Lowell. And when he read this verse, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world, amen, he took it personally. Boy, God told me, lo, that I'm going to be with you until the end of the world. And he got excited about that. You know, we should get excited about that. That God's going to be with us. And that's what I'm thinking about today, with you always. Jesus Christ is going to be with His church as the body of Christ, and He's going to be with us individually always. Turn to John chapter 14 as we look at the Gospel of John. Gospel of John is so rich a book. In John chapter 14, begin reading with verse 16. I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth. I want to say, before I finish reading this verse, Jesus is the eternal Word, who as a man was filled with the written Word. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth, who moved the prophets and the apostles to record the written Word. You can't separate the Spirit from the Word. You can't separate Jesus from the Word. And all through the ministry of Jesus Christ as man, His life was a demonstration of all the prophecies in the Old Testament being fulfilled through His life. He constantly, everything He taught and illustrated through parables and life were examples from the Word of God. His brother Dave said, be students of God's Word, as your Master was. Notice verse 26. Well, let's finish this verse here. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it knew Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus promised to come to us and indwell us. Notice down to verse, just look at verse 27, the same chapter. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We need that same message today. Now I want to say, as we study the Word of God, as we study about Jesus Christ, as we look to the Word of God, remember that the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. Now Jimmy has preached on the inspiration of Scriptures. God breathed His Word. Now, it takes the same Holy Spirit in your study of the Word of God to breathe that same Word into your soul and make it a reality. Or it's a dead letter. How many times have you read the Word of God and it's just like water running off a duck's back? Because we're not submissive to the Lord. As we submit to the Lord, He teaches us. When we disobey, He stops teaching until we confess. See, there's obedience involved in learning. So the Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ, as we're going to see, and reveals them to us. He takes the Word of God. If you don't read the Word of God, you'll never grow as a Christian. Never. Know John chapter 16, 13 through 15. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Now, I believe this is speaking particularly to the apostles who were, by His control, wrote and gave us the New Testament. But I believe, in a sense, it can be applied to us that the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals truth to us spiritually. He will guide you into all truth, for He shall take. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Beloved, I pray as a young Christian, and as older Christians as myself, that we're looking to the ministry of the Holy Spirit to reveal unto us Jesus Christ. Not as an object of history, but a living Savior living within us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just want to go through some things and some thoughts. Stir up your minds concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in verse 1, Brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, of wisdom excellency of speech, or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I've been reading on this chapter here in these verses, and everything in the world, even creation, everything centers in Jesus Christ. God would not have created the world apart from Christ. There'd been no need. Jesus was born to go to the cross to redeem a people whom God had, as we saw in Brother Dave's sermon this morning, He created purpose. We were called according His purpose. You have a purpose in life. Every person here that's a child of God has a purpose in life. And Paul said, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, that we fulfill that purpose in our life. And God will reveal it to you. So the devil likes to make you fear. You know, we don't know what to do. The Lord said He would reveal His secrets to His prophets. Back then, that was things of prophecy that was going to come to pass. I believe God, and as we serve Him, will reveal to you and I what to do and when to do it. Unbelief sometimes takes away our peace, but God will reveal it to us. Going on in this chapter, He says, And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Paul had his problems also. We forget that sometimes. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Beloved, when you hear the preaching of the Word, it's the Word of God is what the Holy Spirit uses. That your faith would not be in the minister in the sense, but in God, who we are ambassadors. We are proclaiming the Word of God, but the power of God is in the Word of God, whom the Holy Spirit uses, and He inspires that Word into your soul, that it becomes part of you. That's something we cannot give you as ministers. We can only preach. We labor in the Word, we study the Word, we give ourselves to the ministry of the Word in prayer, but beloved, it takes the Spirit of God to make the preached Word a living Word in your soul. So when you come to the house of God, come praying. Come dependent upon the Holy Spirit to take the message of God, the message that the minister has labored over during the week for your soul, that he will make it a reality in your soul, not just another sermon, not just another lecture, but a living message to inspire you, to lift you up, to give you that strength you need for the week. You need to be recharged. And the Lord does it through His church and through the ministry. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And that should encourage us, beloved, as we think about that. Notice verse 9, begin reading with verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Or He's prepared some great things for us. We can't even imagine until we cross over to the other side the glory. Paul said that the sufferings of this life cannot even be compared to the things which God hath prepared for us. The glory. Hallelujah. Brother Jimmy and I are talking, if it wasn't for our families, we wouldn't care if the Lord took us right now. Depart and be with Christ is far better. The glory of God. But oh, we love our families. We love our families. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man who is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You cannot know the things of God except by the Spirit of God. Now we're talking about you are a spiritual man when you're born again and a spiritual woman. Until you are a spiritual being, changed from carnality, changed from being having a nature that was depraved, a nature that was sinful, and you were rebellious in your life, until God gives you a new principle of life in your soul, that you love the things of God and not the things of the world, you can never know spiritual things. Because the natural man cannot understand the things of God. He said, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, that God gave us the Spirit that we can know the things of God. God's not going to keep everything from us secret. He's given His Word. He's given you pastors. He's given us prophets to record these things that we might know the purpose and mind of God in our daily life. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. How does He teach? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That means He's comparing spiritual words with spiritual words. As you compare Scripture with Scripture, the Spirit of God will teach you and guide you. The Word of God says, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do we walk in the Spirit? Is it some feeling? No, we walk according to the Word of God. Then you're walking in the Spirit. Nothing mystical about it. Very simple. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We must remember, even as elders and pastors, we study the Word of God, that we cannot by our intellectual wisdom understand God's Word. And those sometimes we may be guilty of trying to figure it out ourselves by our wisdom, our intellectualism. But oh, Paul says we're not even sufficient in ourselves to even think anything spiritually apart from God. Boy, that's saying something. We need the Holy Spirit in our ministry. The church needs the Holy Spirit to receive the ministry that's spiritual from His soul through the Spirit to your soul. The Holy Spirit makes it a reality in your life. Apart from that, it's just another message. Apart from that, the Word of God is just reading the Scriptures. But he goes on to say, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. For he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You say, where do we have the mind of Christ? In God's Word. Particularly in the four Gospels. And since God inspired the complete Word of God, the Word of God is the mind of Christ. the mind of Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice verse 17 and 18. There's so much in here, but I don't have time to deal with all these verses, but we'll deal with 17 and 18. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, beloved, there's a lot in that verse. But what basically it means is we read the Word of God, which is the mirror, and as the Holy Spirit applies the written Word to our inward souls, we are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to grow in grace and in knowledge of Him, you won't be able to grow no other way except in the Word of God, praying to the Holy Spirit to make Christ the living Word, and as you read the written Word, to manifest the eternal Word, the living Word, and the written Word becomes one in your soul. Then you can sing that song, He lives, He lives. I know He lives because He lives within my heart. Beloved, that's the great message there. And as we look down in chapter 4, begin reading with chapter 3, just a few highlights on these verses, but if you get time, do a study of these chapters. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, who in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus Christ is the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now remember, God said, let there be light, and there was light. There comes a day in your life, as David was speaking about effectual calling in regeneration, that God shines into the darkness and gives light in our soul when He creates that principle of life. There's life there. But you know, Jesus told Paul to go and preach captivity to the captive and to preach the gospel, to open their eyes to them that are blind. Now, the only way your eyes can be opened after regeneration is by the Word of God. That's a conversion experience. When the Word of God comes in, the glorious gospel of Christ, notice what it says in this verse, the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. For what purpose? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That comes through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, given to us and inspired in us by the Holy Spirit of God. That Jesus lives within us, inspires our souls. Hallelujah. See, that our faith should rest in the power of God and not in the wisdom of man. We're not trusting some evangelist. Evangelists cannot save anyone. Preachers cannot save anyone. God saves, as Brother Dave brought out this morning. He calls, He saves, He makes Jesus real to the saints. And we cannot. As much as we would love to make Christ real to every individual, that's not our calling. Our calling is to preach the gospel to everyone. We don't offer Christ, we preach Jesus Christ. Our Holy Spirit is the one who applies it to His people. The wind blows, you can't tell when the Spirit comes and when He leaves, but there's always an effect. What's the effect to God's people? They will be converted. The gospel will bring them to knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And they'd be rejoicing in their soul. You'd be like the eunuch. You go on your way rejoicing. Isn't it wonderful when God manifests Himself to your soul? If you can remember that time, you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And he goes on to say in this chapter, he says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, but we have the treasure of earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves, not of us. and we are changed into His image as we hear the Word of God. See, the Word of God and Christ are one. As you are reading the Word and you're conforming to the Word, you're conforming to Christ because He is the Word. I'm the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. That's why it's so important that we read and meditate in the Word of God. As you're meditating in the Word of God, you're meditating on Christ. The image of God should shine unto them and shine in our hearts. Verse 6. Next verse we'll go to is Galatians chapter 2. And I know this is a little difficult for you to hear. Two sermons in a row. I pray that the Lord will bless you this morning for being patient. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, once you've had that effectual call, once you've been lifted from your burden of your sins, once Christ has revealed Himself to you, now you have a new presence of Christ. You have Christ with you always. Always with you, as we're going to see. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We must say, not I, but Christ. Amen. Where does He live? He's seated at the right hand of God in heaven. But Paul says, by inspiration, He liveth in me. Christ is not far off from us because He lives in our very soul, our very being. He possesses us. Oh, beloved, to understand this verse as Paul understood it. You know, Paul was one of the God-called apostles, and all through his ministry, if you read the book of Acts and the epistles, he said, all men forsook me, but the Lord stood with me. He recognized the presence of God with him always. And I'm sure that was his strength. And times in your life when you're going through a difficulty, you don't know what to do, you must come to the conclusion, Christ is indwelling me, He's with me, I'm going to look to Him and follow as He leads. And all will be well. It's a beautiful, beautiful verse, beloved, in Galatians 2:20. But I'll go on. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I couldn't stay out of Ephesians either, Brother Dave. Verse 17 through 19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Beloved, it takes a giving, and it's got to be spiritual, from God for you to understand the things of God. I want to keep emphasizing that. This is not a natural book. It's not a book like mathematics, science, financial. It's a spiritual book, and you must be spiritual to comprehend and understand the written Word of God. You need to be praying for that constantly. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. We need the enlightening of the Holy Spirit as we study, as we hear the preaching, as we read and study and meditate on the things of God. We need a special ministry of the Spirit, and it's illuminating. Inward spiritual understanding of God's Word, making it real to our souls. I need it desperately. Brother Jimmy needs it desperately. Brother Dave needs it desperately. As we are responsible to teach the truth and nothing but the truth, we need the illuminating guidance of the Holy Spirit. That you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You know, Paul said he was sent by Christ to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Beloved, we as children of God should be excited about Christianity. We should be excited about what we have and receive through Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we are one by one headed to His kingdom. Hallelujah. We have something to get excited about. You know, they go to football games and baseball games and people shout and jump around. I tell you something, we got something to get excited about. We're serving the true and living God who's prepared for us a city. He's coming again in His glory. And beloved, we're going to see Him as He is. Hallelujah. And we're going to be transformed in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, into His image. And we'll be able to be in one spot one moment and somewhere else the next, just like the Lord. But if the great part of that verse is, it says, we shall forever be with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. What the future holds after that moment, I don't care. Because that's going to be the glory. After that moment, we're going to be with the Lord. That's going to be marvelous. Marvelous, marvelous, beloved. And finishing up this verse, and what is exceeding greatness of His power to us but who believe according to the working of His mighty power. I just want to say, your conversion experience wasn't left up to your free will. It took the power of God to bring you to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's all I'm going to say about that because that's not my subject. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now, if you want to be strengthened, it's only by the Spirit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by feelings. No. By faith. By faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Christ dwelling in your hearts by faith. The Word of God teaches the just shall live by faith. Oh, isn't that difficult at times? Forget your feelings. Forget your emotions. And when everything is bright and pretty and all the sunshine is shining, we don't have too much trouble. But oh, when the storms come and the thunder starts, you know, we're kind of like Peter. We hear the roaring of the sea and the waves are getting vicious. We start sinking in unbelief. And we've all been there. We need faith. And what did Paul say? I live by the faith of the Son of God. Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. That is the Word of God. And we to cast our complete confidence in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will make that a reality in our life. You cannot escape. Everything that we do is by faith in God's written Word, which connects us to the living Word through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, we're helpless. We need the Lord. Verse 20, in closing in this part of the section, now to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's working in us. Beloved, as children of God, there's a power working in us. John says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. If you're fearful and going through a real trial, you've got the problem has become bigger than your God. You've got your eyes on the wrong object. If you dwell on the unbelief or the problem to the point you start having unbelief, it will control you instead of you controlling it. We need to keep our eyes focused on the Lord, focused on Jesus Christ, because He's with us, He's in us, He indwells us, and as we read the Word of God, we pray for the Spirit to make faith a reality. Christ is dwelling in me by faith, no matter how I may feel this morning when I wake up. The Lord says He indwells us. Now the flesh may say no, the devil may tell us no, but beloved, I'm going to believe God. Let God be true, and every man a liar. And in Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, oh, the Apostle Paul, what a great man of God he was. He says in his confession here in verse 9, and be found in Him, not having thy own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. We're justified by the faith of Christ, beloved. The righteousness which is of God by faith, and receive that righteousness through faith. Through the Word of God, it comes into our consciousness. and we receive that witness that we've been justified from all things through the righteousness of Jesus Christ by His faith as man. He had faith just like we do, as a man. Sometimes we forget that. He looked to God. He prayed to God. He trusted in God. If you read the ministry of Christ in the book of Acts, it said he went about doing all things through what? Through the Holy Spirit. Even His teaching, His ministry, His life was through the Holy Spirit. He depended upon the Holy Spirit as man, even though He was the God-man. Teaching us that we should follow His example, we need to depend upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we follow and glorify God. Going on in this verse, "And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know Him." Now, Paul had been serving the Lord for many years when he penned this. But he still says, "that I might know Him, know Him." And sometimes the Word of God is used as genosko. We need to know by experience. We need to learn to experience the Lord every day, that He comes a living out, a reality to our lives every moment. Every day should be a new experience with Jesus Christ. Oh, how precious. "That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection." We're coming back to 1 Corinthians 2, where Paul says that your faith should be in God, in the power of God, not in the wisdom of man. It's God's power that makes Jesus a reality to you and not man's wisdom. And that'll give you assurance that nothing else can. There's assurance that you won't doubt. And children, when God reveals that to you, your parents won't tell you, you'll be telling them. That's the greatness of this. God reveals the Lord of glory to us, that I might know Him. Oh, that should be our prayer this morning, that we might know Him. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm getting close to the end. Hebrews chapter 13. Another marvelous, marvelous book that, oh, it's just full of riches of Christ. In verse 5, he says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." I will never leave thee. Hallelujah. We're so hard-headed, God wanted to get it across to us, I'm with you to the end. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of this age. And beloved, we need to believe that and receive comfort from that. You know, David says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." Right. Now, he knew something about the presence of God in the Old Testament. That was his comfort. That was his strength. That his shepherd was with him all the days of his life. And even though he was going through trials and tribulations, and David went through many, he says, "For Thou art with me." Now, when you're going through a trial, remember that verse. When you don't know what to do, Christ is with you. He said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. So we may boldly say, it says in the next verse, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." The greatest enemy we have as children of God is fear, which is a sign of unbelief. And we all have trouble in that area. Every one of us. I've experienced it. I know. And beloved, fear can drain you down quicker than anything. Paul speaks about the besetting sin in Hebrews. And I believe it could be unbelief. Because that's the one sin that brings everything down. But oh, the promise of God. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my shepherd. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Oh, the Holy Spirit can take that as He inspired those words in our souls. That's what we need today. Not just reading it intellectually, but for the Spirit of God to make it a reality inside our spiritual souls, that we have such faith that it removes doubt and fear. And oh, we can't do that on our own. Notice verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect or mature in every good work, doing His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and forever. Amen. Beloved, aren't you glad that God's working in us? Working in us. He's maturing us. He's strengthening us. He's teaching us. And the greatest strength we have is faith. Faith in God's Word, the inspired Word of God, written by men of God who were moved by the Holy Spirit. This written Word shines into our hearts. The Spirit of God conforms us into the image of Christ. And oh, the joy that floods our souls when we believe God's Word. Beloved, it's precious. Now remember, Christ is with you always. Matthew 28:20. He dwells in our hearts by faith. Ephesians 3:17. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. The Lord is my helper. Hebrews 13:6. I can do all things through Christ which infuses strength in me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things, but He didn't stop there. Through Christ who's infusing strength in me. In verse 19 of that chapter, God shall supply all your needs. See, what's hindering your joy this morning could be fear and not trust. We should trust that God would take care of Matthew and not fear. Where's our trust at? And I know we as parents are concerned for our children when they go off to college, because we know the dangers that's out there. But Jesus, who indwells God's children, never leaves them, never forsakes them, and is always with them. We cannot be, but He can be. That should comfort us as parents. And in closing, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul says, verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Do you this morning know whom you have believed? If you do, trust Him. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Beloved, I pray that the Holy Spirit will take the things of God and make the presence of Jesus Christ real to you and to myself as individual children of God. We need to practice more often the presence of God. When Matthew goes to school, we're using Matthew this morning. When he goes off to college, beloved, one of the greatest strengths to help you as a Christian to avoid the things of the world is the presence of Jesus Christ. The presence of Christ, when we are filled with His presence by faith and we know He's with us, it's an armor against the things of the world. And as Christians, we need that. If Christ is in our midst and people come around us who are evil, beloved, we realize that we have to warn them that are unruly and defend the honor of God. If it's on the workplace, we let people know where we stand. We stand with God. We stand with God. And we don't accept their filthiness and the evil of this world. We are to practice holiness with fear and godly living before the Lord. Why? Because He indwells you and I. There's a difference between what we were at one time. You were the servants of sin, Paul said in Romans chapter 6, but now you're the servants of righteousness. May we pray. Gracious Father, we thank You for these few moments. Though our thoughts have been scattered, I pray that You will bring them to the souls of each one of us. that we rejoice that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, and that Christ indwells us, and the Father indwells us, and that we're never alone in this world. Forgive us of our unbelief, for doubting God, for doubting His promises. Help us, Lord, I pray, give us that faith to believe Thy word and testimony, that we might be like Joshua, be courageous to do the will of God. For in Christ's name we pray. Amen.